All right. If you're happy to know him, why don't you put your hands together? Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in Sunday school here today. And I anticipate a good time in the Lord's presence. All right. I tell you, you can be seated. I'm not going to read a text, but I'm going to try to convey some truth here in our hearing. Amen. I want to talk today about spirituality. Everybody say spirituality. And I think there's some misunderstanding as to what being spiritual is all about. And hopefully through the Word of God, we will get better understanding as to what being spiritual really is. How many wants to be spiritual? Nope. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't want to be carnal, but you want to be spiritual. Amen. I'm going to lean on you a little bit, especially you ladies that just got back from ladies' conference. All right. I'm glad you guys still have energy left. All right. Things should be better at home. Amen. All right. Well, you know, when you go to see your doctor, whether it's once a year or once every 2 years or 5 years or however often it is, you go for a checkup. Is that right? You want him to look at you and examine you and help you understand what's good and what's not good, what's right, what's wrong. You know, kind of where you are and how you're doing. So today, during this Sunday school session, through the Word of God and through the character of God, we're going to spiritually examine ourselves. We're going to determine our spiritual condition, our spiritual health, and see whether or not we have made progress. All right? Is that okay? All right. And I think one of the reasons this is in order and appropriate is because we need to know how we're doing. We really do. And we want to know how we're doing, you know. Occasionally I'll go up to my pastor and I'll say, is this all right? Am I doing okay? Is there anything I need to do different? Is there anything I need to change? And most of the time he tells me, you're doing a good job. But there are occasions where he has to make some changes, amen, and point out some things that I need to do a little bit different. And I appreciate that because it helps me grow. It helps me be better, all right, more proficient or efficient. And I want to be a healthy Christian. And I don't want to just exist, but I want to mature in God. I want to mature in God. And so when we talk about spiritual things, we're talking about things that pertain or relate to the Spirit. And I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, the Eternal Spirit, the Omnipotent Spirit, the Spirit of God. God is Spirit. And so we're going to be dealing with things that pertain to spirituality and that of the Spirit of God, governed by the Spirit. To be spiritual means you're affectionate and you're diligent in heavenly things, spiritual things. And your life will actually bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think that I am among people that want to stay where you are. Even as a human being in grade school, you don't want to stay in the grade that you're in. Is that right? You want to move to the next level and move to the next grade and so forth. And you don't want to be as you are. You want to continue growing. Is that right? All right. And somebody say, when you stop growing, you begin dying. And I understand that there's a spiritual death, but I want to grow in the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why we come to Sunday school, is so that we can ingest the Word of God, digest the Word of God, and appropriate it or apply it to our lives, to our everyday living. If the Word of God doesn't change you and help you, then you're really not growing. Now you may be growing fat like Eli. I've heard that Eli in his time, kind of mirrors the church of the day. They were very fat. They had great revelation, great insight, but they didn't do anything with it. They just enjoyed the spiritual party. It was all about the experience and all about the blessing, but they were blind. They were fat and they were blind. If we were to examine Eli today, we would say, well, he was diabetic. but we're not going to deal with that today. We'll let the Spirit of the Lord speak to each of us and examine us. If you look at Jesus, even as a young lad, as a young boy, he matured spiritually. Everybody say, Jesus as a young man, a boy, he matured. And the scripture says in Luke 2 and 40, and the child grew and he waxed strong in spirit. So one deals with the physical and the other deals with the spiritual. Number one, he grew. Thank God he grew. And number two, he waxed strong in spirit. Everybody say in spirit. All right. And he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Now, you say, well, why is it necessary that we should evaluate or assess or examine our lives? Well, we need to know that what we have is right, what we have is real. We need to know. And the scripture even says in Psalms 26 and verse number 2, to examine me. This is what the psalmist is saying. He says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try or test my reins, my inwards, my motives, my aspirations, my desires, and also try my heart. Isn't that something? That he is saying to the Lord, examine me, prove me, try me. How many knows the Lord can do a good job examining us? And I believe the Lord wants to do that today. And it's just like we buy a scale. How many has a scale at home? Every once in a while we'll go in the bathroom and we'll kind of get on the scale to see if we're more or less. And, we want to know kind of where we are, whether we need to gain or whether we need to lose. And God knows when we need to increase and when we need to gain and when we need to grow and when we need to lose some things in order to be healthy. All right. And that's not pleasant, not a pleasant experience. We also measure our height. We check our vitals, check our blood sugar, etc. We're examining ourselves. The New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And a lot of times we have to ask one another. I've said, when you look at me, do you see the evidence of God's Spirit? Do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Sometimes when you look in your own mirror, you really can't detect growth or progress. And so you have to have other people in your life to help you see where you are. For example, some of us in here who have children, our children don't know that they're growing, but we as parents know that they're growing. We can not always see, but when we do measurements, then we can tell that, wow, they have grown 2 inches, in the past 6 months, and they've gained, 10 pounds, because we test and we measure and we record, their progress. And of course, when we just reflect, back in time, we're thinking, wow, 2 years ago they were this tall, and now they're almost as tall as me. Thank God they're growing. And so today, that's kind of what we're doing. We're going to look at the Word of God and examine the character of God, the mirror of God's Word, and we're going to analyze our thoughts, our words, and our functionality. And let me start off by saying this. I want to make this clear, that one's faith, your faith, and what I mean by faith, this dimension of faith, is your believability. Your ability to believe is not a definitive sign of spiritual maturity. Now, spiritually mature people should have faith, and should have faith that has been exercised. But faith alone, that believability, is not a definitive sign of spiritual maturity. For example, a child can have great faith. It doesn't mean that they're spiritual. Also, when you look at the life and the faith of the centurion who said, "Lord, just you don't have to come to my house. Just speak your word, and my servant will be healed." That man had great faith, but it doesn't mean that he is spiritual. Do you understand? All right. And one of the ways God determines spiritual growth and it diagnoses our health is through tests. And I don't like to go through tests, but tests reveal your health. They reveal your condition. They reveal the contents of your heart. And when you go through tests, and none of us like, I don't like getting my finger pricked, you know. I mean, it's only for a moment, you know. But they're able to look at the blood and do some tests and examine the blood. I wish the tests that God puts us through were that quick and that easy. But most of the time, the tests that God puts us through, they last a little while. Because God wants to try your reins. He wants to try your heart. He wants to see what you're thinking and what your motives are and what your intentions are. He wants to see the attitude that no one else sees, the attitude that is buried within your soul. You don't want to know the condition of your flesh. You don't need to know the condition of your flesh. Flesh is like grass. God values the soul. God wants to know how your soul's doing, and He wants you to know how your soul is doing. I don't want my doctor just to know how I'm doing. I want to know how I'm doing. And so I gotta hear from my doctor and go through these various tests. Another way is judging or examining or inspecting the fruit. And what I mean by fruit is inspecting your life's results, your life's work, the deeds, your actions, your behavior. John 15 and verse number 4. John 15 and 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you." Now Jesus is speaking. He says, "Abide in me." The word "abide" means to continue. And this is profound here. Abide means remain as one. To remain as one, or to remain one with me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It cannot bear fruit of itself. Except, everybody say except, it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Abide means to remain as one, to continue. And also, it means not becoming different, not becoming another. He said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches." And we know that from the branches spring forth shoots, and the buds and the fruit come off of the branches. Only if the branches are properly connected and all of the nutrients and the qualities that are in the vine flows through the branches. And then the end result is fruit is produce. Fruit is brought forth. He said, "He that abideth in me," and let me emphasize, in me, that means in who he is and what he is. When we learn to abide and continue in him, in who he is and in what he is, and he said, "And I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." You cannot grow, you cannot produce, you cannot yield fruit. Now, what fruit are we talking about? Now, years ago, I was looking at this verse, and I was thinking souls, but that's not what he's referring to. The fruit that he is referring to is the fruit that gives evidence to the vine, of the vine. In other words, what is in the vine will be produced through the branches. So he's not talking about souls here. He's talking about fruit of the vine, fruit of the Spirit. Okay? That's the qualities that should be produced in our lives, is his fruit. All right. So what is in the vine should also be in the branches. The vine imparts its qualities, and that life, and it begins to flow, and eventually it will bring forth fruit. That's if there's proper continuity, there's proper connection. There's a lot of things that we can do to disconnect ourselves from who and what God is, and therefore we will not be productive in, you know, bringing forth the fruit of God. And fruit is very, very important, and I don't have time to validate that, but I think you've read enough scripture to know that God, when he looks at our lives, he does expect to see fruit, evidence that we are connected with him, that we are abiding in him, and he is abiding in us. In fact, if you go down a few verses, he says, you have to learn to abide in my love as I abide in my Father's love. So what is the quality that your life should produce? You taught on it last week. It's love. All the law and the prophets hang upon the commandment of love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know the scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what he is saying here is your life should produce that. Your life should yield that. The fruit of God. The evidence, the quality of God in our lives. So we are safe to say that when our lives begin to produce and yield the fruit of the true vine, we are growing and we are maturing in Christ. And of course, let me emphasize this, and our fruit should remain. Our fruit should remain. And I would always condemn myself because I thought it was just, you know, he was referring to, you know, winning a soul and the soul remaining. That's not what he's referring to here. He's talking about once your life has yielded the fruit of the Spirit, it should remain. It shouldn't be, you know, pleasant one day and then unpleasant the next, you know. Bringing forth love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, and then the next day, you know, you're just in a turmoil and wanting to, you know, beat somebody up. No. He said, if you're going to produce fruit, your fruit needs to remain. Remaining fruit. Is that all right? All right, because when he examines our fruit, it helps him to see what our life is, where we're connected, who we're connected to, what we're feeding from. And you know we can feed our carnal man, can't we? We can definitely feed our carnal man. But if you feed your spirit man with the things of God, your life will produce. Amen. Jesus was not considered spiritual because he was well-versed in the scripture. Was he well-versed? Yes, he was well-versed in the scripture, even at a young age. He's asking and answering questions. At a very young age, you know, he's among the priests and the scribes and so forth. And he's standing toe-to-toe. And they're amazed at his knowledge and his understanding. But was he spiritual just because he was well-versed? No. Was he spiritual because he did supernatural things? No. He is known to be spiritual because of his character. His character. His attitude. His moral conviction. His nature. How he interacted with others. His perfect love, his righteousness, his mercy. The bottom line is he was godly. The scripture says, great is the mystery of godliness. It doesn't say great is the mystery of the Godhead. It says great is the mystery of godliness. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Godly? Because when you look at someone and you can, without a question, without a doubt, you can say, that is a godly woman. That is a godly man. That's evidence that that person has grown spiritually. All right? And you don't listen to me. Now, I'm for education. I need a better education. But you don't have to be educated or intellectual and you know, be able to quote the encyclopedia to be spiritual. You know, there are people that can't read and write, But they're very spiritual, and they understand the things of God. They have a strong discernment. They can detect and perceive the voice of God. Very spiritual people. So there's a difference between intellect, human rationale, and being spiritual. And we know, according to the scripture, that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so, you know, as Christians, we do have the option or the choice to operate either by a carnal mind or by a spiritual mind, the mind of the Spirit. And so we need to understand that there is a difference. You know, I can look at things and judge them with my flesh or with my carnal mind, and I can misjudge things, and when I misjudge things, I mishandle things. But if I can get in the Spirit and stay connected with Him, in Him, and in what He is, and begin to take on that mind and access the mind of Christ, then I can begin to comprehend the things of the Spirit and see beyond flesh and hear the God behind the man and see the Spirit within the church instead of seeing all the flesh and all the inadequacies. You see, when you come to church and you see all the faults and all the flaws and you pay attention to all the mistakes and the mispronounced words and so forth, then you may be operating on a carnal mind and not a spiritual mind. I was talking to Brother Winslow just recently, and he told me, he said, I was in a certain church and I preached, and the anointing of God was upon me, and I was just declaring, you know, the message of God. And he said, I used the wrong name. I used Moses instead of Abraham, or Abraham instead of Moses. And he said, you know, and some people, they can't have good church because they're so focused on all the inadequacies and the flaws and the mistakes and the flesh. And he may have belched, you know, while he was teaching or preaching. You know, they see the human factor. But he said, would you know that about 8 people receive the Holy Ghost in there on that service? Amen. Because there were people in there that learned to connect with the Spirit in spite of what the flesh was doing. Hello? They could see the God in the man. They could see the Spirit within the church. Hallelujah. That's why many people can't receive miracles, is because they're too busy looking at the humanity of the church and they can't see the Spirit of the church. But one of the signs of spiritual growth is you can look past all that and you can see deity, and you can hear the voice of God in the midst of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. Is that all right? All right. Grace, the mystery of godliness. And this is a sign of true spirituality. And it's this. His ability or his willingness and his ability to forgive. And when you understand the depth of his forgiveness, you know, to exonerate, to totally pardon you, that is a sign of spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth, when you're able to forgive and to release someone that is guilty, that done wrong, they said something out of place, they were disorderly, but your willingness and your ability by the sap, the sap that's in the vine. You see, if you stay connected, if you learn to abide in Him and allow Him to abide in you, that's when your life will bring forth and yield the fruit of God. And of course, when you yield the fruit of God, He says, my Father's glorified. That means He's magnified, He's praised, He's extolled, He's honored when your life brings forth fruit. Amen. Amen. So that is a sign of spiritual maturity, is your willingness and your ability to forgive. Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. I've had a long runway today, so I've just, started rising above the surface of the ground here. But anyway, it's enough to kind of set some things in motion in your spirit and get you to really thinking and hopefully allow God's Word to analyze your life. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, Galatians 5:22 tells us the evidence, the outgrowth, the harvest, the production of the Spirit. It is a spiritual fruit, not carnal fruit, not human fruit. But this fruit reveals God. It reveals God. Okay, it gives evidence of God. And of course, I can go through them, and let me just mention several of these. And and I'm sure you could probably quote them yourself. Fruit of the Spirit is love, that's charity, agape. Joy, that's gladness. Peace, that's secure. Tranquility. You know why God's not nervous? He's not anxious. He's not like a roller coaster. He's not intimidated. You know why? Because he dwells in perfect peace. He embodies peace. Nothing scares him. Nothing intimidates him. He doesn't feel inferior. There's no giant that scares him. He has perfect peace. And when you learn to abide in him and he in you, you can have that same peace. And nothing can move you. Huh? All hell may break out in your life, but nothing can move you. If you learn to abide in him and he in you, nothing can shake you because you're firmly planted in him. And he lives in you. And his spirit and the qualities of his nature are exhibited in your life and through your life. And therefore you give glory to him. Long-suffering. God's long-suffering, isn't he? I'm amazed at the long-suffering of God. This is fruit of the Spirit. He is long-suffering. That means he is persevering. He's very patient. How many knows he's patient with me? He's patient with you. He's patient with us. He's gentle. He's calm. He's tender. Goodness means kind. Faith, it means faithful. Meekness means submitted, mild. Fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Submitted, he's mild. Temperance, whew, that's a tough one. That's tough for humanity, isn't it? Temperance, that means self-control. Whew. Someone approached me the other day and said, well, I think this boy has an anger problem. No, he has a self-control problem. And it reveals itself in his anger issues, you know. And it may reveal itself in other ways. You know, it may reveal itself in gossip, you know. People who talk about everybody and everything and they're always quick to give you their prayer request just to reveal what's going on in someone else's life that the whole world doesn't need to know. Hello? That's a lack of temperance. It's a lack of self-control. And the scripture even teaches that if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion is in vain. And what that means is they are spiritually immature. And they need to learn to walk in the Spirit so that their life can yield the fruit of the Spirit. You can tell when people are walking in the Spirit and when they're walking in the flesh. Is that right? How many has experienced both? You know, I start at least thinking in the flesh when I go and I spend money on a fishing trip and I don't catch any fish. I don't operate in the Spirit. I start operating in the flesh. Vanity. All right. Here we go. Here are some other signs of spiritual growth and development and maturity. When you're growing spiritually and you're becoming spiritually healthy and mature. Now mind this. We're not all on the same level. We're really not. We're not all seeing and hearing the same thing. We're not all perceiving at the same level. Okay, so I'm not trying to, you know, say, you know, you're more spiritual than that one and you should be where this. No, don't compare yourself with each other because you don't know what that person's been through. You don't know the test that God has put into that man's life or has put that man through. And therefore, you don't know why they're here and why you're there. But there's a reason for that. So don't compare yourself. Just look at the Word of God. Let God examine you, and then you examine yourself. Here's one of the signs is you become less selfish. It's less about me and more about He and His world and His kingdom and His people. Amen. You become more kingdom-minded than materialistic-minded. More mindful of the things of God, the kingdom of God. And also, you become more ministry-minded, more serving, okay? In fact, you come to edify rather than to receive. A lot of times we just come to church, and I'm just talking to two or three of us. we come to church, and we come just to receive, just to soak up what we can. And we should come to receive from our Father because He delights in giving us the kingdom, the things of the kingdom. But we need to understand that as his sons and as his children, as his representatives, as his ambassadors, we have also come to minister. And what I mean by minister is we have come to edify the people. Huh? Didn't he say if you're operating in these gifts and you're speaking this, that he said you need to pray and seek that you may excel or mature to the level of edification rather than just experiencing and encountering and feeling something. We need to learn to move past the feeling, operate in the dimension of God's faith. Hallelujah. And we can. Another sign is you become content, spiritually content in spite of the current conditions. You have increased understanding and wisdom, less desire and less need for attention, acceptance, and approval of men. You know, as I remember, and once in a while, you know, if I'm feeling sorry for myself and I'm you know, feeling like a failure, I'll you know, start hanging out, you know, a little closer with my pastor and you know, hopefully he'll say something good to make me feel better because I'm, you know, wallowing in self-pity and feeling inadequate and so forth. And, you know, our mind affects our emotions, and sometimes we're just not feeling good because we're not thinking healthy. And, of course, there are other reasons for that. But as we mature in the Lord, we have less desire or less need for attention, acceptance, and approval of men. We learn to walk with an understanding that we are pleasing God. And I know that I'm pleasing God. And if I please God, I will do the will of God. I will bless people. I will be like Him. I will be godly. We walk submitted to authority with affirmation and with understanding. Some people walk submitted to authority, but they don't understand authority. They don't understand their place in God's order concerning authority. We walk in the fear and the reverence of God. That is a sign of spiritual maturity. Another sign of spiritual maturity is you're consistent. You're steady. You're stable. You're faithful. You're not just here today and there tomorrow. One of the signs of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity is you become stable in your walk and in your relationship with God. And of course, we know that there are some things to facilitate this spiritual stability, don't we? All right. Another thing is we know and we obey God's voice. We know, we discern, and we obey the voice of God. In fact, if we did everything that is preached across this platform and this pulpit, we would be spiritual gurus. Are you hearing me? You know, all we just say, "Whoa, that was a good message, Pastor. You've done such a fantastic job. That was the greatest I ever heard you." You know, we've heard and received that compliment. That's the greatest you know I've ever heard you. That was the greatest message I've ever heard you preach. Well, why would you even tell us that when the message didn't even come from us? It come from the vine. Hello? It's not my fruit. It's not my revelation. It's not my good preaching. It's the revelation of the Spirit. I just happen to be the carrier. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor. I almost get offended when people come up to me and ask me how I did. You know, I missed a service and I was out preaching. They say, how did you do? I didn't know it was about me. I thought it was about His kingdom. You know, another thing that, and I'm just kind of being transparent since we're here in Sunday school class. I hate it when people come up to me and they say, you know, stuff like, "Brother Sapp, brother, that was such a great message. You just done such a wonderful job." You know, and in all due respect, you know, I appreciate, you know, the compliment. But listen, I don't manufacture the message. I just hear from God, and I just tell you what He's speaking to me. That's it. That's it. God gives me His logic. God gives me His thought. And sometimes I just put words to the thought of God. And I just express and demonstrate and declare what He is speaking into my spirit for the church. And so I can't take credit for revelation and spiritual insight. I'm not a good man just because, you know, I declare things that are revelatory. No. Is that okay? Am I still your friend? All right. Well, you can, but don't get me wrong. If you feel led of God to come and pat me on the back, then, you know, I'll receive it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, when pastor's preaching, don't let that stop you from sowing seed. Because we're not sowing to the flesh, we're sowing to the Spirit. Huh? Is that okay? All right. Let me just go ahead and get done. Find a point to stop here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And I only have just a few minutes to finish up. Whew, it's got a little hot in here, hasn't it? Have I made you uncomfortable? Oh, okay. All right. All right. All right. That's funny. Now, don't tell me I've done a bad job. Just pray for me. You say, man, you need to pray more. You need to start listening because I think you missed it today. Amen. We need to hear the voice of God when the preacher's preaching. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I love Sunday school, Pastor. I really do. Amen. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, because you're immature. You're too intellectual. You're governed too much by your feelings and by the experience. Some people pray, and they pray in the Holy Ghost, but they pray very blindly. They don't know what's going on. They just pray in the Spirit. They don't know what's going on. But I'm telling you, you can grow and mature spiritually and begin to see and hear and understand what you're praying, even though you're praying in the Spirit. You can start praying with vision. God can increase your vision, your perception, your ability to see. But of course, the Corinthian church, they had a problem with immaturity. And he equates immaturity as being carnality. They're babes. They're governed by feeling and by human nature. They're very juvenile and childish. And what Paul was saying is, because you are not spiritual, even though you have all the gifts of the Spirit, you have all the manifestation and the experience and the glory and the power, he says, but you are very carnal. And he said, I cannot teach you and say to you certain things because you will not, number one, you will not comprehend it. You cannot receive it. You will not comprehend it. And of course, if you cannot comprehend it, I'm wasting my time. Because you cannot apply the Word of God. And that's the bottom line. If you can't comprehend it, how are you going to apply it? And if you can't apply it, how is your life going to bring forth the evidence of that Word? But we preach anyhow, don't we? Amen. This implies that people can go to church, worship God, know all the preachers, take notes even, you know, during preaching and teaching, have spiritual gifts, and still be referred to as carnal, undeveloped, and very, we can become very mechanical. And I wrote this today, some suffer from inadequate reception and perception. They can't see or hear God's Spirit. You know, they're babes. It's all about what they feel. But God is raising up a mature people that can both see and hear. We have strong discernment. We've learned to exercise the things of God, the faith of God, the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And so God is maturing us. Let's all stand to our feet. I know it's 10:50. We're going to just ask you just to stretch a little bit and maybe just make a little bit more room for, I don't know if I should say the icing, the icing on the cake or maybe the cherry on top or something. But we're getting ready to close And we want to just mention a couple of things, and then we're going to get out of the way here. But I'm just letting you stretch for just a minute. Now, you don't have to. I'm just kind of letting you stretch. It's 10:51, and let me just say a few things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11, Paul said, when I was a child, there was a time in his life where he was childish. He was very immature, okay? He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Things that I said were very, very childish, very immature. I thought as a child. And then he said, I understood as a child. But when I grew up, everybody say, grow up. How many has ever heard that? Has anyone ever said that to you? Grow up. And we want that. I love my children, but I'll be glad when they're grown and gone. Well, we say that, we say that because we think that. But I'll be glad when they grow up, get a job, get married, have kids, and move to Wisconsin. And I wouldn't want them to move that far away. I'm sure when I get older, I want them closer by, because I'll need someone to come over and mow the grass. my dad always told me that, and I know now why he said those things, because he was tired of putting up with our childish ways. And sometimes God is looking at us and he's saying, I wish you would grow up. Grow up and start behaving like me. That's what it boils down to. God is saying, when you grow up, you will act like me. You will think like me. You will speak like me. That is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the evidence that you are abiding in Him and He's abiding in you. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. That what I just spoke is so revelatory. That God is saying that when you grow up in Him, you will become like Him. You will think like God. You will speak like God. You will behave like God. And therefore you will reveal Him. You will manifest Him to your world. And in the end, He will be glorified. Do you want the Father to be glorified? Let's put our hands together and thank Him for His good word. And shout to the Lord, God, help me grow. God, help me grow.